Thanks for checking out the My City Church podcast today. If this is your first time listening in with us, we want you to know that you are loved. Wherever you're joining us from, we hope that this message inspires you. And now, here is Pastor Jesse Norman.
If you got your Bibles with me, James chapter 4. James chapter 4, and we're going to read verses 1 through 2, and here's what it says. What is causing the quarrels and fights among you? Some of you are like, what does this have to do with welcome home? Just bear with me, okay? Just bear with me. Don't they come from the evil desires at war within you? You want what you do not have, so you scheme and kill to get it. You are jealous of what others have, but you can't get it, so you fight and wage war to take it from them. Yet you do not have what you want because you do not ask God for it. Like I said, some of you are like, what on earth does this have to do with welcome home? Well, if you've been in a home for very long, you realize home is full of difficult people. And today, I want to talk to you from this topic or this thought, dealing with difficult people. Don't nudge your neighbor right now. That's rude. Dealing with difficult people. Can we pray today? Father, we thank you today, Lord God, that your home is for the whomsoever will. Lord God, we don't have to be fixed up. We don't have to be perfect to be here. But Lord, we thank you that you accept, Lord God, those that are really far along in the journey or those that are just starting out. God, I pray you would fill this church with grace, with wisdom. And Lord God, you would help us, Lord God, to continue to pray for warmer weather outside. Lord, we don't like the snow. We don't like it. We don't like it. As my son says, Lord, we want sunshine. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Come on, if you're believing God for some better weather outside, make some noise. Some of you are like, why does he always do that? I don't know. I have no idea. So by show of hands, how many of you had to deal with some difficult people in your world? Yeah. I had a friend that just did a survey. Pastors a very large church. And this, they did a survey on topics that people wanted to hear about. This was the number one topic. This is the number one topic. In fact, this is one of the most asked questions by people. How do I deal with those people? Those people. Like, some of you are married to those people. Yeah, I was thinking about this around Thanksgiving season and the holidays. You know, holidays sometimes are a great sense of excitement because family's getting together. But then everybody knows that most of us have that weird uncle. You know, like the weird uncle, right? Like the weird uncle that you never know what you're gonna get out of him this Christmas season, like. I had one of those uncles, my Uncle Frank, you know. Every Christmas season, you would show up, and he's actually passed away, so it's okay for me to talk about him. I'm joking. So you're like, that's so rude. Maybe I'm one of those people. And Uncle Frank was, you didn't get to see him a whole lot, but when he showed up, he could be like the most loving person. Like, I remember one time when I was a kid, he took me to the McDonald's playpen and let me play for 6 hours. Like he was so good. But then sometimes he could be the grumpiest person in the whole world. And I remember one Thanksgiving, he mouthed off to my grandma. He's a grown man at this time, like 40 years old. My grandma gets up, starts chasing him around with a chair. She's gonna break the chair over him, you know what I mean? And you start to realize, like, man, like, this is my home. But even home sometimes is filled with difficult people. I think we have sometimes this understanding that if God's going to call us home, we call the church our home, that we're going to show up to church and it's just going to be full of perfect people. It's going to be full of people who always do what Jesus does, who are always kind, who are always gracious, who are always loving, but guys, just think about your own home. It's not reality to think that God is going to call a bunch of broken, messed up, trying to figure out how to serve God people, and put them all in a room, and you're not going to experience some difficulty with some of those people. Like, just think about it. Like, if there's any place on planet Earth where you're going to experience some dysfunction, it's right here in this room. Like, we're all just a bunch of people, like, on a journey, trying to serve Jesus, trying to make the most out of this life, but full of imperfections, full of insecurities, full of difficulties. Here's what I want you to understand. Being a part of a family requires you dealing with difficult people. It's not if you're going to have to deal with difficult people. It's the fact, you know what, I would even go a step further. I would submit to you that God is going to bring difficult people in your world. He's going to bring difficult people in your world because he's concerned more about the love that we show than just the cleanness of the atmosphere we live in. See, James is writing about these kinds of people. Just look what he says. James chapter 1, 4, verse 1, it says, "What is causing the quarrels and fights among you?" Some of you are like, well, that's easy. It's that guy. Right? Like, James, what kind of question is this? What do you mean, who's causing the problems? It's that person who's gossiping about me. Or it's the fact that, like, people are just rude. Or it's my boss. Or it's the people in Omaha who don't know how to drive. Like, what do you mean who's causing these difficulties? You know what I mean? Like, some of us lose our salvation every time we get in the car. You know, like, you're peeling the banana. You know what I mean? Like, you know, like, some of you will get that tomorrow. All right. James is going, what's causing it? What's causing this? And for many of us, our initial response would be, it's really easy. It's the difficult people in our life. It's the person who's causing the pain. It's the person. But James begins to do this really weird thing. He presents this question, and then he twists it around and kind of points the gun back at us. It's like, James, what do you mean who's causing the problems? It's that guy. It's that girl. It's that problem. It's that person. And all of a sudden, James makes this pivot. Next verse, here's what it says. It says, don't they come from the evil desires at war within who? Within you. See, and this is why this message isn't really popular. Because if I'm honest, I want God to deal with them. Like, I'm praying Old Testament biblical wrath of God prayers. You know what I mean? I'm all about the grace for me, but them, get them, God. Get them. Earth, swallow them up. You know what I mean? Like we want justice. We want justice, but James begins to make this turn, and he's saying that the reason we're having strife, the reason we're having problems, it's not just those people. It's actually something at war within myself. Then he tells us what exactly it is. James, next verse, here's what it says. You want what you do not have. So just think about this for a moment. All points of frustration, all points of anger come from, I want something and I cannot get it. I'm in traffic. And there is a person driving on the interstate 35 miles an hour. And I just want to get home. I want to be able to get there in a timely fashion. So what do? I'm thinking, you know what? I could just go around this person, but I'm going to prove a point. And I pull up, and I just give them a little honk, and what's your problem, and drive around them really quick, you know? Because why? I want something. I want to get home. I want this. I want that. And that want, because we don't have it, begins to stir up something in us. It begins to stir something up in us. You ever talk to anybody who's bitter at somebody, who's mad at somebody? It's because there was a great want in their life that got deferred. And now that want has turned into a point of what? Contention. See, sometimes justified wants can be our greatest enemy. I wanted somebody to show me respect, and they didn't get it. Well, friend, if you're not going to show me respect, I'm not going to show you respect. See, sometimes it's the decent wants in our life that trip us up the most. So James continues to tell us, so here, what begins to happen? So you scheme and kill to get it. Next verse, guys. So you scheme and kill to get it. You are jealous of what others have, but you cannot get it. So you fight and wage war to take it from them. So we begin to see like these difficult people. Like the reality is that they have something that we want, whether it's peace. And now we think, hey, if we get some contention going, we can get what we do not have. But here's the real problem. And this is the real thing that I want everybody to get today. James also tells us, here's the problem, here's the syndromes, but here's the solution. James chapter 4, verse 2, it says, yet you do not have what you want because you do not ask God. So think about it. James is walking us through this problem that people are arguing, that people are having content. People are having a hard time dealing with difficult people. They're having a hard time. Some of them are the difficult person. Some of them are the person trying to deal with the difficult person. But the solution that James is presenting, the way that we deal with difficult people, is to talk to God about it. You know what I found with God? We are interested in God changing other people. God is more interested in changing us. Here's what I want you to understand. God wants to do a change in me just as much as you want to change them. So whenever we get in this thing where it's like, hey, it's those people, the difficult people, like God, I just want you to change them. I want you to change them. The key to this is to begin to pray about it, to begin to seek God about it, and to begin to get the understanding that God oftentimes is more concerned about changing us than he is about changing others. Here, let me put it to you like this, just with clarity. Instead of trying to change others, let God change you. Instead of trying to change your situation, your circumstances, let God change you. Every married couple I've ever met who's having difficulty, this is the sum total of their difficulty. Both spouses are trying to change the other person. Neither one of them is looking, going, maybe God gave me you to change me. Maybe the reason you're kind of a pain in the neck and you never put the toothpaste back in the right spot is because God's trying to teach me patience. God's trying to teach me love. God's trying to teach me joy. See, we often think it's the absence of problems are the blessing of God. But sometimes God brings you difficult people so what? He can teach you what walking in blessing is all about. How many of you believe that today? I know this isn't popular, but give me a good amen anyway. God told me he wanted me to preach on this. I try to talk him out of it. I said, God, I just want people to shout and be excited about it. But I mean, you know, I want to help people too. And this is a real thing. So I want to give you five difficult things for dealing with difficult people. Five difficult things for dealing with difficult people. Number one, here's what I want you to look at. Number one, guys, if you got it back there for me, thank you. Overlook the offense from them. Just overlook it. Just overlook the offense. Like, I'm a little concerned, to be honest with you right now, in our culture today. Like, there is no overlooking anything. Like, we have shifted kind of in our country to the dialogue where I don't just disagree with your opinion now. I don't like you. Like because you think this way, I am vehemently opposed to who you are. And you can feel it in our culture. You can feel it, right? Both people think this person is the problem. No, this person's the problem. No, this person's the problem. So now what? I'm going to try to get my way. I'm going to try. If you don't think like me and walk like me and talk like me, you are the devil. And guys, we've got to be able to grow in this area. Here's what I want you to understand. We need to have tough skin and a soft heart. You know what we have today? We have thin skin and a tough heart. We have people, the first sign of disagreement or offense, the other person's the enemy. Friends, if that's what we are going to have in this world, our relationships are going to be so shallow. You might as well just go ahead and love yourself. I think that's a good song, right? Somewhere. You should just go and love you. Because that's the principle. That if we can't overlook some things in people's lives, if we can't love them. See, here's the key about love. Love overlooks the wrongs of others. This is what love does. The Bible says that love covers a multitude of sin. You know, the other day I always hate when I have to preach these kinds of messages because God's going to make me live them. And the devil's going to try to disqualify me. God's going to try to make me live them. And the other day I saw some stuff on social media by somebody I knew who, just quite honestly, I wasn't a big fan of their opinion. You ever been there? And you ever been so, you feel like the, you can feel like my head's getting hot right now. But, and you're rehearsing. You're starting to rehearse like, what? You know, you're going back and forth. And so I'm like, So I'm in the comment section. I'm writing out the comment section. And I get there and I go, The Holy Spirit's, don't do it, boy. Don't do it. I'm like, I want to send it. I want to send it. I'm just, okay. Delete, 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 you know? And I just said, you know what? I'm just going to simply just let it go. I'm going to overlook that. Here's what Proverbs chapter 12, verse 16 says. It says, when a fool is annoyed, he quickly lets it be known. What a word for our generation. I had a bad day today. 14 paragraphs on social media. Tomorrow, had a good day. Next day, had a bad day. It's like, my goodness gracious. Just, hey, if life's annoying you, sometimes you just need to know tomorrow's going to be better. Sometimes somebody just had a bad day. You don't have to let it be known. Here's what Proverbs chapter 19, verse 16 says. A man's wisdom gives him patience. Oh, some of you are like, I hate this message. Why did I come? Why did I get up in the snow? It is for his glory to overlook an offense. Here's what I would say to you. Love looks past the behavior to the pain in people's lives. Here's what I need you to understand. Hurt people hurt people. If somebody is vomiting on you, if somebody is going there, if somebody feels malicious, just rest a little bit. And just know that that's coming from a hurt place in their life. You know what I like to do sometimes? I like to try to imagine what they're going through. It may not be true, but it'll sure help me. You know what I mean? Somebody cuts me off on traffic and I'm getting real angry about it. You know what I'm gonna do? Oh man. Their kids just got in trouble at school. They just got called in. They're having to rush there. It's probably not true, but it sure makes me feel better about it. Because that's what love does. Love looks past the offense. It just goes, you know what? They're probably just having a bad day. They'll have a better day tomorrow. So that's one thing that we can do to help us deal with difficult people. Just let it go. Don't take it so personally. What? Have thick skin and a soft heart. A soft heart towards God, because that's his child too. Let's have soft. Am I helping anybody? I know this is a people always tell me, Pastor, give us the deep stuff. Here you go. Number two, pray for them. Pray for them. Here's what I want you to understand about praying for people. Praying for them is for your benefit, not just their benefit. me and Angela, I don't do as much as I used to, but I used to do a lot of marriage counseling. And you sit down with a couple that they're you know, at odds with each other, right? And they know they're sitting down with a pastor, and so they kind of expect for me to open up and go, hey, you know what? We're going to open up in prayer. But usually what I do is then I look at her, and I say, oh, here, we're going to open up in prayer. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to pray for him. And I want, when she's done, I want him to pray for you. And it usually starts off something like this. God, I pray that you would change so-and-so. This wretched man you've given me. It's my wife's prayer all the time. Lord, help him. Jesus, I've given up already. I've overlooked too much. And they start, because that's what tension does. But it's amazing that as they begin to pray for one another, by the time they're done just talking to God about it, softens their heart. There's something powerful about praying for people that don't do well to you. This is a principle that Jesus taught throughout the Bible. He's saying sometimes he's not going to remove difficult people from you. He's going to teach you how to love them and pray for them. Here's what Matthew chapter 5, verse 43 says. It says, you have heard the law say, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Here's what I want you to understand. Your prayer for others may not change them, but it will always change you. David was the master of this in the Psalms. You read the Psalms and you're like, wow, this guy's bipolar. Because at the beginning of it, God, there's no hope. God, my enemies are all around me. He's praying Psalm 56, break the teeth of the wicked, oh God. You know what I mean? Like, God, just destroy my enemies. Destroy them. They're all around me. But as he continues to work through it, as he continues to pray, but God, in you I trust. I know you see me. I know you surround me. Could it be that that difficult person is there to teach you how to love and pray for those that persecute you? That God wants us to learn how to overlook an offense, how to pray for somebody. Hopefully this is helping somebody. Number three, forgive them. Forgive them. Forgive them. I never forget when I first learned this. I was a young kid. I'd just been saved for just a little bit. I started interning at a church. I was doing like a paid internship, right? And our lead pastor kind of went out of town for a couple days, and I was working on this special project in our student center. Now, we had a small budget and small resources, but big vision. You know, welcome to church. And I've always been kind of like, I'm going to get it done. You know what I mean? So I knew we needed all this wood to build out this stage and do all this kind of stuff. So I started calling around. I called my dad. My dad called a couple of his contractors. All of a sudden, I had gotten all the wood for the project donated. But the people on the other end said, hey, can you get me the nonprofit number so we can file it part of our tax return? And I'm like, well, sure. Well, I didn't ask for permission. I just went in the office and got it, gave it out. And for whatever reason, one of the pastors on staff found out about it and was not happy about it and fired me. Like, just told me, brought me in the office, hey, you did this, you didn't ask for permission, we're going to have to let you go. And I just remember, I'd only been a Christian for like 6 months at that time, and I had the best of intentions in my heart. I literally went to my truck and cried. Some of you, some of you got no mercy, okay? You're like, whatever, get over it, bro. And I remember I got there in the truck, and I remember driving. I was so angry. I said, God, I'm just trying to do your will, and this is what I got. Well, come to find out, my senior pastor got back into town. He didn't really appreciate that they did that to me. He brought me back on team, straightened out the whole thing, and then 6 months later, I found out that pastor was having an affair. The one that did that to me. And to be honest with you, justice felt better than forgiving. Is this too real? Can I go here? It kind of felt good. I'd be like, see? I was just trying to do the right thing, and here you are being Mr. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da, and then look what you're doing. You know, oh, man, there was so much pride that I didn't even know. know about, right? Fast forward years later, and I'm sitting in front of another leader who's correcting me. And I felt this thing rise up in me that said, don't trust that. Don't trust that. And I walked out of that meeting, and God just dealt with me so strongly. And God said, you know what? You never forgave him. So now you have mistrust of authority. You thought he got what he deserved, but you're the one still walking in pain. You're the one still trapped in a prison of your own building. That's why Colossians chapter 3, verse 13 says, make allowance to each other for each other's faults. And forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. See, forgiveness has nothing to do with the other person. It has everything to do with you. Forgiveness is about releasing yourself from the prison that you've built around your life. Jesus understood this even in his last moments on the cross. Luke chapter 23, Jesus cried out. He made seven statements on the cross, and one of them was this: Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. Friends, if Jesus has forgiven us so much, guys, we can overlook a little bit of problems. We can pray for those that persecute us. And you know what? When somebody hurts us, we're going to forgive them. Like I said, forgiveness is like setting a prisoner free only to realize that the prisoner was you. See, we think we're that difficult person, that person who caused pain in our life. We think by still being angry to them that we're preventing it from ever happening again in our life. But really all we've done is walled ourselves off from the world and stopped ourselves from being able to receive the great things that God wants to bring in your life. I realized that day with that story, that God was actually trying to bring me a father that would correct me where I needed it. And because of my unforgiveness, I was keeping the thing at bay that God was trying to use to heal parts of my heart. And I can't help but think today that there's some people in here you need to forgive. But we need to go a step further than that. You ready? I told you this is going to be a difficult message. Number four, we want to bless them. We want to bless them. That means to say good things about. Whew, Pastor Jesse, why you got to be like this? Blame it on Jesus, okay? These are his words. But our world says, hey, you don't like me, I don't like you. You said that about me, well, I'll say it back to you. But that's not the Jesus way. The Jesus way is to make your language about them be a blessing and not a curse. Luke chapter 6 says this, but to you who are willing to listen, I say to you, God, just look at those words. But are you who are willing to listen? I just don't think we have an appetite to listen to this kind of stuff. Because I'm a justice person. Somebody does me wrong, I want to sit there, let's talk about it. You did it, God get them. Come on, let's be honest. But if we have ears to hear, Jesus is trying to show us a higher way, a higher calling, a higher path. If you're willing to listen, I say to you, love your enemies. Wow. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you, and pray for those who hurt you. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 9 says this, don't repay evil for evil. Don't retaliate with insults when people insult you. Instead, pay them back with a blessing. That is what God has called you to do, and he will grant you his blessing. So here's the principle. When somebody speaks against you, says something bad about you, like Mama said, can't say something nice? Just don't say anything at all. But the principle is that hopefully we can find it in our heart once we've prayed for them, once we've overlooked them. You know what? I know they're saying that, but I love them anyway. I want God's best for them. See, we want God to deal with them. God wants to bless them. Can you get that? This is kids. We're trying to pray judgment on somebody because they're being a pain in their life. God's going, I'm trying to bring them home. I'm trying to rescue them. I'm trying to bless them. And God wants blessing to be coming out of our mouth. Here's why. You create your world, so build a blessed world. If you walk around with that stuff just oozing out of your mouth, you ever notice people that are getting treated wrong all the time keep on getting treated wrong all the time? Like they just feel like they can't. Why? Because they're speaking that into existence. They've been hurt, they've been wounded, and so they just keep on speaking it out into existence. Well, what does that do? It just perpetuates the cycle because our world is created with our words. Let's let blessing flow from our mouth. Number five, here we go. Step further. Do good to them. Do good to them. Romans chapter 12 says this, never pay back evil with more evil. Do things in such a way that everyone can see you are honorable. Do all that you can to live in peace with everyone. Dear friends, never take revenge. Leave that to the righteous anger of God. So that's in God's hands. Let God deal with his children. For the scripture says, I will take revenge. I will repay them back, says the Lord. And that's the part that really gets me really excited right there, because I'm like, yeah, God, they did me wrong. But here's what it says. Instead, here's your command. Let God do that. Let God take care of his kids and discipline his kids. Instead, if your enemies are hungry, feed them. If they are thirsty, give them something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals of shame on their heads. Don't let evil conquer you, but conquer evil by doing good. I just want you to imagine a church that when somebody wants to gossip, they're just having a bad day. When they keep on doing it, I'm going to pray for them. God, I pray, Lord, that you would give me the heart to love them. Because I remember what it was like to hurt on the inside. God, help me to have what? Thick skin and a soft heart. God, I pray that you'd bless them, Lord. And God, when I see them, I'm going to bless them. When somebody wants to come and talk to me about what they did to me, I'm not going to entertain that. I'm going to bless them. I'm going to bless them with my words. You know what? I'm going to go a step further. I'm going to bless them with my actions. You know, I remember, in conclusion, I was pastoring in Miami at the time. And my job, we were in a big church, you know, 7,000-8,000 member church. And my job was to deal with all the difficult people so pastor didn't have to. So if somebody was going to be the bad guy, guess who it was going to be? Me. Pastor was always the hero. I always had to be the bad guy. And I was fine with that because somebody's got to be that guy. You know what I mean? And I remember we had this couple in our church. You ever met people just always unhappy? Just always got something bad to say. Well, they were taking some of that and kind of spreading it around a little bit and kind of talking to some other people. I don't know why they do this or why they do that, or nobody's friendly, nobody, all the time, right? And so I talked to them once about it. I talked to them again about it. It just kept on coming. And then they were telling some friends, hey, we're thinking about going to this other church and you know, all this kind of stuff. So I sat down with them and I just said, hey, guys, I love you very much. But maybe you should go to a different church. Maybe you should. Because in this house, we're going to pray for each other. We're going to overlook faults. We're going to walk the Jesus calling, not the self-righteous calling. We're going to forgive those that have hurt us. We're going to love. We're going to speak blessing and not a curse. And boy, they did not take well to it. And I remember watching, they were posting stuff on social media. They were taking pictures of different places, tagging their friends, going, hey, come check out this new church that we were going to. And every part of me wanted to go, this is ungodly, this is whatever. But God says, you can't give advice that you're not willing to live with. And I just remember getting along. I prayed blessing on them. I prayed that God, Lord God, it would be no big deal. You know what was amazing? All the people that they were spewing that at, it was like God just blessed our church with wisdom. And people were like, I don't really want to follow bitterness. Not really my thing. Long story short, they ended up leaving the church for a little bit and went through a very difficult season. Well, I had made a commitment when they left that I was going to text them once a month and tell them I loved them. So I did. Once a month. I text this one time, and he responded back to me. And he said, "We're going through a difficult time. Can I meet with you?" I said, "Absolutely." I met with him, and he just literally, it was a big, big boy, grown man, just laid in my arms, cried. He goes, "I'm so sorry. We were going through difficult times, and all we could see was this thing and that thing and this thing and that thing. We thought if these things change, maybe our marriage would be better. If these things change, maybe this would be different in our life. And I'm so sorry." And I said, "That's okay. You are forgiven. I forgave you a long time ago. You're welcome home. Welcome home. You can come back in the family. You're a part of this thing." Guys, this is what the gospel is all about. Do you realize we were so offensive to God? We were so offensive to God. But we come back, and God forgives us.
Thanks for checking out the My City Church podcast. We hope that this message inspired you to love God, love people, and lead in life. If you'd like to connect with us further, please visit us on the web at mycitychurch.cc. Until next time, we are believing that the best is yet to come in your life.